1 Peter 1:13 through 16. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. Since it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy."
1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. If you have your Bible, turn there if you will. If you're not sure where 1 Peter is, if you go to the back of your Bible and work from that direction, it's the seventh book back. It's a very small letter written by Peter, but it's a powerful letter, and we will spend the next 14 weeks, well, after today, 12 weeks in this book together. It has some wonderful truth for us. This fall, as we walk through this book, we will unpack that Jesus is our living hope. He's the reason we have to celebrate today. He's the reason we have grace, amen? He's the reason. I don't know about you, but there's something so special about the name of Jesus. If you are not sure how special it is, if you'll just walk into a crowded room and start saying that name out loud, you'll see. You'll make some people nervous. You'll get some smiles from others. People will be drawn to you. Others will want to get far away from you. It's at the name of Jesus that every knee will bow someday on heaven and earth. It's at the name of Jesus that we all come to salvation. It's at the name of Jesus that we receive new life. I love the old hymn that says, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." Sing that with me. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like a fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Jesus. There's something about the name of Jesus. He is our living hope. As you look here at this passage, be reminded before we begin reading again, last week, we started with three key truths, and one of them is so important. If you're ever going to understand what 1 Peter is about, if you're ever going to be able to live it out, you have to start how Peter started. And Peter started with the beachside breakfast with Jesus. Remember, Peter had denied Jesus three times. Peter had made a mess of his life. He had made as many poor choices as wise choices, yet he loved the Lord and God knew it. And where many of us would have written Peter off and never given him another chance, Peter goes fishing. Jesus sees that. He meets him on the shore. He cooks breakfast for him. He asks Peter three simple questions, and then he says, "Peter, follow me." Jesus says, "Peter, I forgive you. Now follow me. Be about what I am doing." Some of you in this room, we talked about it last week, but if you weren't here, you'll never live out 1 Peter if you don't have your own beachside breakfast with Jesus. Because some of us are harboring a grudge against ourselves when Jesus is no longer harboring a grudge against you. Some of us struggle to forgive ourselves when the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one we've been singing about all morning, has already forgiven everything you have done. So if you've not received His forgiveness, or you've received His, but you can't give it to yourself, friend, you got to walk fresh. He says, "Follow me." You've not been put on a shelf. No matter what you've done, no matter how wrong you've been, no matter how many mistakes you made, God doesn't say, "I'm through with you." In fact, God can use you. Now, that doesn't mean there's not a season that you need to be disciplined. There's not a season that you need to grow and be restored. But I assure you, there is nothing you have done that God cannot still use you. Is that right? It's the truth. But some of us struggle to believe it about ourselves. Second, last week we learned what it means to have living hope. Living hope is meant to be lived out. It's not just an idea. It's not just a cool logo on the screen. It's not just something nice to call a sermon series. It's not nice to write a song about it. It's to be lived out. All the songs in the world about living hope mean nothing if we don't walk it with our feet. It's meant to be lived out. And then last week we also discovered to treat every trial as a bigger way to praise Jesus. Everyone's going to have a trial from time to time. Look at it as a way to praise him. So let's continue right now with 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. And we're going to see five very quick, they won't take long, five quick and practical steps to holiness. But before we talk about holiness, we better make sure we know what holiness is. The word, now listen, you need to know what holy means because it shows up in the Bible over 600 times. It's one of the words that's there more than any other word in the scripture is the word holy. It's used to describe who God is. It is used to describe God's people, you and me. It is used to describe specific objects or places of worship. The literal definition of holy simply means to be set apart. We set apart this room for worship. We call this a worship center. Some, you could call it an auditorium and do anything you want in here. We call it a worship center because we've set this room aside. We have made it holy in the sense that it's been set apart for worship. You, your life, my life, we are set apart by God for worship. We are set apart by him. So that's what it means. So believers have been set apart by God from the rest of the world. And in just a few weeks, we'll even see where Peter says that we're a holy nation. Now, he wasn't referring to the United States. He was, that word nation is the word ethne. It means peoples. We are a holy people. It means the people of God are a holy nation. We are a people belonging to God. So if you're writing things down, I would say this. It's important that you understand you are holy in God's eyes as a believer, but we're commanded to be holy in our daily lives. It's two different things. We are holy in the eyes of God, but we're commanded to be holy, to live it out in our daily lives. Believers are to live set apart lives. We're commanded to be holy every day. And so here's what I would say to you this morning. God took what was not holy in you and in me, and he set it apart. God took what was dead in you and me, and make no mistake, if you're following Jesus now, you once were dead in your sin. There was no hope for you. But Jesus took what was dead, he brought it to life. God took what was old, and he made it new. That's what he does. He took the trash of our lives, and he made it into treasures in his eyes. In 2016, there was a documentary that came out. It was an hour and a half long, and this documentary is about a garbage dump in Paraguay, and it made the world news. Some of you may have seen it. It was on every talk show you could imagine. This documentary, they talked about it on all the magazines, talked about it a couple of years ago, but it's this fascinating story called Landfill Harmonic. And the idea behind this is there were two men, one named Fabio and one named Cola. My name could be Cola. I love some, Chris Cola would be nice. I love me some Coca-Cola. Anyway, so Fabio and Cola set out to transform an entire garbage dump, a community of people that lived in Catura, Paraguay. It's just much like the garbage dump that we partner with the ministry there in the Dominican Republic in Sisua, our partners there on the ground, Jan and Elizabeth Tenure. These men decided they wanted to transform those who lived in this garbage dump in Paraguay by providing something for them. So Fabio recruited Cola to start taking trash and making musical instruments out of it. And so they took trash and they made musical instruments out of it. Then they taught the children how to play these instruments and develop their own orchestra from the garbage dump. And once the world found out, the world took notice. I've got the 2-minute trailer that explains what the documentary is about. The trailer says enough to show the point. Let's watch that real quickly together.
¿Entienden? Entonces tiene que atender.
Mi nombre es Víctor, toco el cello.
Mi nombre es Ada Maribel Ríos Bogado y toco el violín.
Kids in Paraguay actually made all of the instruments out of trash.
Look at this. That's a fork, people.
Let the gift of music shine through tonight on that stage.
That is a beautiful picture of the gospel. I hope you don't miss it. I hope when you see something like that, you don't just see a nice human interest story and you think, I want to go home and find that on Netflix or Amazon Prime and watch it. And I would encourage you to watch it. It's a great documentary. But don't just see that. See the gospel in that picture. It's a living portrait of that. God takes our trash and makes beautiful instruments of our lives. Friends, that's what he's done in your life and mine. But how sad would it be if they had just stopped with making the instruments and they never taught the kids to play? Those kids who grew up living on a garbage dump, literally, have now played around the world in some of the finest concert halls in all the world. What if the instruments had just been made and been left to sit on the trash? What if no one ever played them? Friends, if you know Jesus, he has turned your trash into a beautiful instrument, but it is designed to be played. God has designed us to live holy lives. After he transformed us, he commands us to be holy because he is holy. So God has made you into this beautiful instrument. And now worship him with your obedience. That's what holiness is about. It's worshiping God in the lifestyle of being set apart by him. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. It says, therefore, prepare your mind for action. In other words, the first step is this. If you want to be holy, prepare your mind for holiness. All actions, sinful or holy, begin in the mind. Everything you do starts in your mind. It may be so infinitesimally quick that you don't even realize it, but nothing happens. Your body doesn't do something without your mind starting the process. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So here's what I would want you to remember, a simple phrase, and that is this. The actions you take start with the thoughts you think. Just that simple. The actions you take start with the thoughts you think. Prepare your minds for action. Now, here's what I know. I can keep filling my mind with junk and expect holiness to come out. But friends, I got to tell you something. That's never going to happen in my mind. Is it going to happen in yours? It's not. We do it. We think, I'll just keep taking this in, this stuff that's not from the Lord. I'll take it in, I'll take it in, but I'll somehow magically live out holiness. It will not happen. You are holy in God's eyes, but you must be holy in how you conduct yourself. And that only happens by preparing our minds for holiness what we take in. I'm going to give you a very real example. I might as well not hide it from you because it's not hiding anyway. Some of you, you can watch me as your pastor and know the things that I struggle with. Some of you know that I struggle with stress eating and I struggle with weight issues for years. You've had a front row seat. It stinks to be the pastor sometimes because hundreds of people are watching you every day. And you say, oh, he's got on his skinny shirt today, or oh, he has on his biscuitous shirt today, or whatever you want to call it. That's a nice phrase for chubby. But anyway, so some of y'all are, never mind. Let's just keep going. So the deal is you stop and you can watch me. And you can watch over the past 7 years, you saw me go lose a lot of weight and gain some back and lose and gain. And you see the roller coaster. And we're not here to talk about weight loss today, but I would simply say this. I'm not going to hide it from you. I can't hide behind this rock pulpit that Benny Fraser made. I can't hide behind it. But what I can tell you is this, that if I make a decision today, my wife would want me to, if I made a decision today that said I'm going to lose 50 pounds. And so here's what I'm going to do right away. Next time I get me a Krispy Kreme donut, thinking about it right now, somebody told me tomorrow that they have lemon glaze on the original donuts. Come on. Anyway. But if I decide I'll get me a donut, here's what I'll do to fix the problem. I'm going to sprinkle me some Plexus powder and some keto cream and some Shakeology mix on top of that donut before I eat it. All of my supplement friends in here would tell me that is not the plan that's going to work, right? It's not. All those things can be helpful on their own, but it's not intended to pour on the donut and taste it. It would ruin the donut, first of all, but it was not made to do that. And what I would say to you is the same is true spiritually. We can decide that we want to be holy in our actions, but if we keep saying, well, I'm just going to do my best to do my part and I'll do it, but we keep taking in things of the world, all the stinking thinking, all the things that are bad, on top of that, I promise you it's not going to come out as holy. It just can't. It really is true what we put in. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We've got to prepare our minds for action just like we prepare our bodies for action. We prepare our minds. I cannot take in bad and walk out good. It will not happen. If I'm going to be holy or if you're going to be holy, it will start with what you take in your mind. So the actions you take begin with the thoughts you think. Remember that. Next, let's keep going. Verse 13, the rest of it. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded. That phrase, sober-minded, is well translated as self-controlled. Some different translations would even say that in how they word it. It's telling us be self-controlled. We need to develop a plan to live our lives on purpose. Make decisions on purpose. Don't just be ruled by our reactions. We have to be ruled by the actions we make on purpose. If you're writing down things that I say, here's a phrase for you to take home and work on. Make a plan for the punch. Write that down. Make a plan for the punch. What does that mean? Infamous boxer, very famous boxer, Mike Tyson, said this years ago. He quipped this: everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. That's pretty true. I would say it like he did with his high-pitched voice, but I'm afraid he's listening, so I'm not going to say it. So anyway, everybody has a plan until it gets punched in the mouth. And what I would say is that in life, you need to make a plan for the punch. And what I'm saying, it means be sober-minded, be self-controlled, prepare for what is coming. Now, we can't prepare for everything, but I can tell you this, we're very clear in the book of 1 Peter, and Paul addresses it as well, that pain and suffering, or sometimes just normal disappointment in life, that is somewhere in your future. If you're not experiencing it now, it is coming. There will be some level of pain in your future. There will be some level of disappointment. There will be some level of suffering. So we make a plan in advance for the punch. We make a plan for what is to come. We are sober-minded. We are self-controlled. Let's keep going. Look at verse 13, the rest of it. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It says, set your hope fully on the grace to be brought at the revelation of Jesus. Now, that's talking specifically about the ultimate return of Jesus. We can set our hope on the fact that we have Jesus in our lives now, but he is saying, set your hope on the fact that there is a return of Christ coming when all things will be made new. So what would be the idea we could walk away from this little part of the verse? It would be this: living hope has an eternal perspective. Living hope has to have an eternal perspective. Eternal perspectives keeps bad days from becoming overpowering. Eternal perspective keeps bad decisions from becoming permanent. Eternal perspective keeps bad test results from becoming insurmountable in our thinking. There is hope beyond failure. There is hope beyond pain. And there is hope beyond the grave. Friends, it is so important that if whatever you struggle with, and I don't pretend to begin to know what the hundreds of people in this room would struggle with, but I know this, whatever you're struggling with, it's different than the person next to you. The next pain that's coming your way, it's different than the guy behind you or the lady in front of you. The reality is, it's coming. And when it does, when your suffering comes, your pain comes, your disappointment in life comes, we must be prepared to understand that the perspective of eternity matters. If we can think in terms of what is eternal, we're reminded later in the scriptures of the fact that our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Light and momentary troubles? See, that's the eternal perspective. No matter what your trouble is, it's light and momentary in the scope of eternity. It won't last. Whatever it is, it will not last. You've embarrassed yourself greatly. You feel ashamed. You've received God's forgiveness, but you don't know how to face anybody in your family or in your world. Listen, this will pass. In eternity, it will not be the thing that is remembered. It's you knowing Jesus that will be remembered. You're struggling with some heartache and some hurt from some past situation that you were involved in or that came running at you, that came crashing down on you, and you just don't know how to breathe beyond this and how to get past it. I promise you, this will pass. In the scope of eternity, in the scope of eternity, all things are made new. So we must have an eternal perspective. Let's keep going. Look at verse 14. As obedient children, do not conform to the passions of your former ignorance. That is a very descriptive term. As obedient children, do not conform to the passions of your former ignorance. In other words, the new you knows a better way. The new you knows a better way, so don't conform to the old way. The God who set you apart, the Holy Spirit inside of you, he's given you and me a new way to live, a new way to walk, a new way to love, a new way to act, a new way to respond. But I will tell you this, and I'm going to just testify that it's true in my own life. The passion or the emotions of the old way often shout louder than the truth of the new you. That happened for anybody else? Sometimes in my life, the emotions and the passions of the old me shouts a lot louder in my mind than the new me who I am in Christ. And so I'll respond in anger maybe to my children when I should respond with more kindness and maybe with discipline, but yet in a firm way, but not with anger. Or it comes out when I'm upset with someone and I find myself wanting to say something about them or gossip about them for a moment instead of stopping to pray for them or to deal with the situation head on. You see, it's real easy for the passions of the old me to want to shout louder than the truth that I'm getting from God and his word, although the truth is true and the passions are not. And the same can be true in your life. I want you to remember what Dr. Tony Evans, one of my favorite preachers of all time, said to his son, Anthony Evans. I've shared it a couple of times before, but it's such good truth, I want to share it again. He told his son, who was going through an emotionally difficult time, he said, son, throw your feelings against the wall of God's truth and see what sticks and believe what sticks. because your feelings will come right off of there if it's not true. Hold to the truth of God's word. Our emotions will lead us astray. It's happened since the dawn of time. It'll happen today for some of us if we're not careful. Our emotions, our passions, good or bad, our feelings will lead us astray. We must know this. As obedient children, we don't have to be conformed to those passions of our former ignorance. Ignorance can be an ugly word, but the truth is it simply means they were uninformed before. But now that you have Jesus, now that I have Jesus, we know a better way. I have to say, as a believer, you know a better way. I know a better way. Don't be conformed to the old way. Finally, verse 15. But as he who called you is holy, so also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. The fifth little quick principle for walking in true holiness is this: examine your conduct. Check yourself. Does the response that I'm having right now to this situation, does it reflect holiness, or does it reflect the world in me? Does my tone that I'm sharing right now with someone, does it reflect Jesus or does it reflect the world? My actions, are they setting me apart for God or are they setting me up for failure? We just have to learn to examine our conduct. You see, this short little passage early on in 1 Peter, I think, is designed to give us the foundation for living hope being lived out. And that is these five simple little thoughts. Little, what might be principles, but the reality is are key components of living out the holiness of God. So can I ask you, which one of these is for you this morning? Which two of these are for you this morning? Let me remind you one more time. First, prepare your mind for holiness. Remember, the actions you take begin with the thoughts you think. For some of us, it's that you really need to change your thinking. You've got to change what you take in. If you've not been taking in God's word at all, don't expect to live out God's word. I've always been amazed at people that think, that get surprised when people who don't know Jesus act like people who don't know Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, you don't know him. You don't know how to live like you have him. We can't expect the world to act Christian. It will not. Now, I think we can expect believers to act like Christians. That's a whole other subject, but I don't think some. Anyway, it's important that we understand what we take in is what will be lived out. And so for some of us today, we start by saying, God, I want to prepare my mind for holiness. I want to stop taking in whatever this is or that is, or I want to make sure I'm taking in your word. I want to take in opportunity from other believers to be encouraged. That's where small groups come in and attending worship. Prepare your mind for holiness. Maybe for you this morning, though, it's to work on being self-controlled. You need to make a plan for the punch. You know the difficulty's coming, and so you don't want to just fall apart when something bad happens. You want to be able to say, by the foundation of Jesus in me, of God's word in me, God's word in my heart, I've hidden it there that I might not sin against him. What a beautiful, powerful passage of Scripture that we would take in God's word to learn to be self-controlled. Maybe for some of us, it's realizing today that your response this morning is you've got to see the eternal perspective in things. Living hope has an eternal perspective. Don't look so short-sighted. Look at the eternity. For others of us, maybe it's the new you knows a better way. It's that the passions of the world have been shouting louder than the truth of what you know from God in your heart and in your mind. And so it's time to shout back. How do you do that? Well, the reality is it's by taking in more of God and his word. It's by beginning to live it out on purpose. It's by not listening to the emotions. It's hard not to be ruled by the emotions. Sometimes you got to just step back and stop whatever it is you're doing and say, let's look at what's true here. Let's get a perspective of what's real here, of what's going to last here. And then lastly, I would simply say this. For some of us, we need to examine our conduct. We need to check ourselves. Am I conducting my life in a way that I can live out where Peter is quoting the Old Testament and he says, you shall be holy, for I am holy. One of the greatest responses you and I can have in worship, one of the greatest responses you and I can have in showing that we know that Jesus is the living hope is to walk in an obedient, holy lifestyle. Holiness. I can remember as a child thinking that word sounded boring. I remember thinking that sounds tough and difficult, truthfully, a little bit on the drab side, a little boring. But I have come to learn over the years that there is nothing more satisfying, there's nothing more invigorating, and there is nothing more life-giving than walking in the steps that God's commanded you to walk. Nothing. It couldn't be more opposite of what my thoughts were as a child. And so may you and I make a decision to walk in holiness. Friend, you've already been made holy. You are holy as believers, but now you must be holy in your conduct. Would you pray with me with your heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment? What about you? What about me? For some of us today, it's that first step. You've got to prepare your mind. You got to work on what you're taking in. So maybe for you, when we sing in a moment, we have a time people can respond. Maybe you just want to come get on your knees and just say, God, I gotta quit taking in the influence of certain things, and I need to take in more of your word and who you are and the truth and be around other godly people and not let just those that don't have your best interest at heart in my life. Maybe for you, though, maybe it's that you realize you've got to work on the self-control issue and you want to be prepared for the next difficulty that's coming. You want to be prepared by working on putting that foundation in your life. Maybe for you, it's time to gain the eternal perspective. You're in the middle of pain. You're in the middle of sorrow. You're in the middle of a trial or a temptation, and you just need to see the long road of obedience. You need to see that whatever it is you're going through, whatever difficulty you're going through, it will pass. If not on this earth, it will for eternity. Take comfort in that. Maybe for you, it's that you realize you can't conform anymore. The new you's got a better way than the old you that walked in ignorance. So come and ask the Lord to help you not be ruled by your emotions or passions, but to be ruled by the truth that's there and to deepen that truth by putting more there in your life. Whatever the Lord would say to you this morning, maybe God's calling you to come and unite with our faith family. Maybe you want to be an official member here. You want to be a part of what's happening. Maybe God's calling you to respond in some other way. You've got Jesus in your life and you want to be baptized, or maybe you want to give your life to Jesus. Whatever is happening this morning, we give you a chance to respond. I'll be here. Justin will be here. We'll pray with you. You can come and get on your knees right down front and just pray on your own. Someone will come along, place a hand on your shoulder and pray with you, but they'll leave you an opportunity to pray alone. Whatever God is saying to you, would you respond to the living hope this morning? Father God, please have your way among us. You are our living hope. So we come broken, we come wounded to be healed. Father, we come asking you to take us just as we are. But Lord, just like that pile of trash that was turned into a beautiful instrument, I praise you that you take the trash of our lives and you turn it into something beautiful for your glory. So may we live it for your glory. May we make music with our lives. Music of holiness. Speak to us now, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus.